The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
The FT.
This week, Courtney Weaver in Moscow takes an in-depth look at Vladimir Yevtushenkov, the Russian billionaire who was charged with money laundering earlier this month.
For most of the past decade, Vladimir Yevtushenkov has run his sprawling business empire from a building fit for an oligarch with over $9 billion in assets and almost equally valuable connections. Decked out with ceiling frescoes, the 1930s neoclassical landmark is sizable enough to house some of the 100,000 employees who run Mr. Yevtushenkov's telecoms, oil, property, media, retail, and healthcare holdings. The property also happens to have one of Moscow's most desired addresses, 13 Makovaya, directly across from the Kremlin. Investors believed Mr. Yevtushenkov's close ties with senior political leaders and cordial relations with Vladimir Putin were guarantees of the unstoppable growth of his London-listed holding company, Systema, and its dozen subsidiaries. Last week, those assumptions were turned on their head when a Moscow court ordered Mr. Yevtushenkov's arrest after Russian investigators charged the billionaire with money laundering dating back to the 2005-2009 purchase of his prized oil company, Bashneft. If found guilty, he faces up to 7 years in jail, while Systema investors worry the holding company will be forced to offload Bashneft in a fire sale. They are also concerned that it could be forced to retroactively pay back the $3.8 billion in Bashneft dividends it has received. People close to Systema, Moscow bankers and investors say the proceedings against Mr. Yevtushenkov are being driven at the behest of state energy company Rosneft and its chairman Igor Sechin, who wants to add Bashneft to his growing empire. A former KGB officer and longtime ally of President Putin, Mr. Sechin has led the consolidation of Russia's energy sector into state hands, with deals such as Rosneft's $55 billion takeover of oil group TNK-BP. Already powerful before the Ukraine crisis, Western sanctions against Rosneft have only given Mr. Sechin more leverage. Last week, Russian officials indicated the company would soon get part of the $42 billion in state funds it has requested to weather the current turmoil. Both Rosneft and Systema denied there have been any formal negotiations to sell Bashneft, but people with knowledge of the matter say the talks began before Mr. Yevtushenkov's arrest and are continuing. In the meantime, pressure on Systema, which owns a controlling 84.3% stake in Bashneft, has only increased. On Thursday, prosecutors announced that two top Systema executives, Alexander Goncharuk and Sergei Drozdov, have fled the country. Lawyers for Systema say the two men are on medical leave. Within Mr. Yevtushenkov's inner circle, expectations are growing that Rosneft may soon pressure Systema into shaking up Bashneft's top management. The affair has conjured up memories of Rosneft's takeover of Mikhail Khodorkovsky's oil group Yukos close to a decade ago. Mr. Khodorkovsky was convicted of fraud and tax evasion in a case that came after he clashed with Mr. Putin and was widely believed to be politically motivated. However, investors and analysts say that Mr. Yevtushenkov's detention points to something bigger, that against the backdrop of sanctions imposed after Russia's incursions into Ukraine and a tougher economic climate, the individuals and institutions that are closest to the Kremlin now have top priority. Before they were going after people who were politically inconvenient, like Khodorkovsky and exiled media magnate Vladimir Kuczynski, says Stephen Dashevsky, founder of the Russia-focused fund Dashevsky & Partners, now they're going after people who are not part of the inner circle. In these times, neutrality is no longer enough, he says. Political analysts say the move on Bashneft and investigation into Mr. Yevtushenkov could not have happened without Mr. Putin's approval. For the past 2 years, the president has stood firmly behind Mr. Sechin in his move to consolidate the energy sector, breaking Gazprom's export monopoly so that Rosneft could export its own liquefied natural gas, and authorizing the group's numerous acquisitions. In an atmosphere where the Kremlin has become increasingly wary of its enemies, both external and internal, observers say insiders such as Mr. Sechin have grown more influential as Mr. Putin finds he has fewer people he believes he can trust. A takeover of Bashneft would provide Rosneft with much-needed cash flow and a boost to the state energy group's production volumes. Rosneft's oil output was flat in the first 6 months of the year. Bashneft's was up by 9%. Others speculate that Mr. Putin is using Mr. Yevtushenkov's arrest as a preemptive warning to the country's other big businessmen to continue to stand behind the Kremlin, even if the economic hardships get worse. Every oligarch is asking the same thing. Who might be next as the head of a Moscow public relations company whose clients include members of Russia's Forbes list? You can find so many skeletons in anyone's closet. No one understands what the new rules of play are, he says. Meanwhile, fears are growing that the Russian authorities will now expand their investigation into other Systema subsidiaries. Among the company's prime holdings is MTS, Russia's largest mobile operator, which is valued at about $15 billion and has a 49% free float on the New York Stock Exchange. The assumption is that a deal to sell Bosneft has been struck, says the head of a major investment bank in Moscow. The question is what will be left of the carcass. Associates of Mr. Yevtushenko say the developments of the past week are especially shocking, given his finely tuned survival instincts. Born in Smolensk, Mr. Yevtushenko moved to Moscow for university, training first as an engineer and then as an economist. He joined the Moscow city government in 1987, and after 6 years went on to found Systema with a group of partners. The way I remember it now, we made our first capital by acquiring the right to buy 50,000 tons of oil and selling it abroad, Mr. Yevtushenko told the FT in an interview last year. They next moved on to importing computers. His rise coincided with the 18-year rule of Yuri Lushkov, Moscow's longtime mayor and a powerful political figure who was once seen as a potential presidential successor to Boris Yeltsin. By Mr. Yevtushenko's own admission, he and Mr. Lushkov were close for a long time. Russian tabloids have long suggested that the men are related through marriage, though both deny this. What is known is that Mr. Yevtushenko built MTS during Mr. Lushkov's time and gained a significant hold in the Moscow property market. According to Mr. Yevtushenko's version, the friendship ended in 2004. In the intervening years, he realigned himself with Mr. Putin and Dmitry Medvedev, Russia's current prime minister, in a move that allowed the businessman to successfully ride out Mr. Lushkov's controversial dismissal in 2010. The former Moscow mayor describes Mr. Yevtushenko as a, quote, workaholic. His former friend had never tried to insert himself into politics, Mr. Lushkov told the FT this week. Yevtushenko tried to stay away from political life, he said. What did excite Mr. Yevtushenko was a long-held desire to enter the oil and gas business. Associates say the billionaire had been traveling to the oil-rich region of Bashkortostan since the early 2000s and viewed Bosneft as a way to lift Systema's and his own standing in Russian business. The Bosneft acquisition, which was completed in 2009, gave Mr. Yevtushenko access to a company with some of Russia's most underutilized and inefficient oil operations. Systema radically reformed the company, boosting its output and revenue. But Bosneft came with a questionable legacy. While its assets were privatized by the Bashkortostan government in 2003, most of them ended up under the control of Bashkir Capital, which prosecutors say was controlled by Ural Rakimov, the son of the region's then governor. Russia's state audit chamber criticized the 2003 privatization as, quote, an unprecedented case of asset theft from state ownership, but subsequent court rulings upheld the validity of the deal. Analysts and bankers questioned why Mr. Yevtushenko chose to tie himself to such an asset. What did he think he was doing getting involved in the swamp of Bashkortostan, posits the Moscow investment banking head? How can you wade into muck like that and not end up covered in mud? Others, however, argue that Mr. Yevtushenko could never have imagined the acquisition would come back to haunt him, noting that the billionaire would never have been able to take control of such a strategic asset without the approval of then-President Medvedev, if not Mr. Putin himself. Acquisitions like the purchase of Bosneft typically require some form of official approval, says Andrew Weiss, Vice President for Studies at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. It's understood that there is close coordination for deals of this type, he says. That's been a given for more than a decade. The possibility of a Bosneft sale to Rosneft was first raised over a year ago by Mr. Sechin, according to people familiar with the matter. However, Mr. Yevtushenko appealed to Mr. Putin to intervene, and the takeover was taken off the table. Systema responded by laying the groundwork for a Bosneft secondary public offering in London, a move that would have significantly complicated a hostile takeover of the oil company. In July, just a couple weeks after executives began pitching the company to investors in London, a Moscow court froze Systema's stake in the oil company as part of an investigation into the Bosneft privatization. In August, prosecutors extended the probe into unidentified managers at Systema, alleging that the group may have underpaid for Bosneft by $500 million. Prosecutors now suggest that Mr. Yevtushenko was also involved in the alleged scheme. Against the backdrop of the legal proceedings, Mr. Yevtushenko suddenly found he wasn't able to secure a meeting with Mr. Putin, but nobody believed Mr. Yevtushenko would fall under such scrutiny so quickly. Everyone was completely taken aback, says a person close to Mr. Yevtushenko. They didn't expect things to go so fast that he would be put under house arrest. Barred from Sistema's headquarters, his movements, interactions, and communications are now monitored by Russian law enforcement. While some of Russia's top business executives have come out to voice their support for Mr. Yevtushenkov, few appear willing to directly challenge the president, either on the arrest or the direction Mr. Putin has taken over Ukraine and Russia's geopolitical standoff with the West. The Yevtushenkov affair has dealt a further blow to Russia's investment climate. Its main stock index fell 6% in the days following the arrest. Sistema lost 37% of its value in a single day. Bashneft lost 20%. Yet nobody in the top ranks of the government appears to care, says an aide to a Moscow billionaire. It's taken for granted that this is the policy and it's not to be discussed, he says. There is a consensus that politics is much more important than the economy. No one is thinking about what the arrest is going to do to people's willingness to invest here. While Mr. Yevtushenkov may have thought he was in a position to play hardball with Mr. Sechin, the ensuing events will have woken him and Russia's other leading tycoons up to the new reality, says the PR executive. Things are changing in the country. Maybe Mr. Yevtushenkov was not ready to accept this.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.